SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, SteveBick.com. Just looking over a couple of the stakes that I hadn't really had a chance to glance at that have been drawn already for Thanksgiving week racing, and it'll be more. More helpings, more servings, more of everything as we get into, not even have to wait, really, because the action picks up tomorrow at Penn National. Things get started with the Fabulous Strike and the Swatara and the Blue Mountain Juvenile, and then rolls right into pretty much every venue that's running. When it comes to Thanksgiving holiday week and weekend, should really have a fun week, I hope. And if the weather would cooperate a little, we might really enjoy our Thanksgiving holiday. We'll enjoy one of our traditional visits, so anticipated. It's one of the rites of late fall. It's the visit from Johnny D before Thanksgiving. Johnny's ode to Thanksgiving. Everything he loves about his favorite holiday. It's almost everybody's favorite holiday because it's a can't-miss proposition. Unless, of course, you overcook the turkey. Then it's all right. But don't worry regarding that, by the way. We've got turkey emergency support for you tomorrow. Neil's going to be back. It is so funny, everybody responding to Thursday's replay of Neil's visit from last year. So we'll get a visit in late tomorrow from Neil Kleinberg, too. And if you've got last-second questions, how do you thaw a turkey that you bought frozen too close to the holiday? Don't worry, we'll tell you. Yes, you have the internet, but it's more fun hearing from Neil. So he'll be back tomorrow, and it's so funny too because when I told him, I said I got a bunch of emails and responses, and he said, "Do you want me to come back?" I said, "Absolutely. We'll do it again. We'll do something different. We'll mix it up." And I'm glad I listened to it because that way I can contribute. I know. You know what we covered and what would be valuable, and I'll be breaking straight into cooking mode. We'll be off Wednesday and Thursday. Let you enjoy Thanksgiving, and we'll do some handicapping tomorrow into the Wednesday Thursday cards, and then Friday we'll come back at it again with everything because there's just countless. And really, the cards already, notably Churchill, too. I mean, Churchill, I know some people don't think the Clark is up to their high standards. But the Churchill cards are really good with a nice mix of maiden races and the stakes and allowances. I mean, and it's been a really right, you know, from Breeders' Cup week straight through here. And they'll close things out with the Stars of Tomorrow, too. They'll come back on Saturday. And, in fact, we're going to touch on that a little bit today because Brendan Walsh is going to join us in the first hour. I reached out to Brendan because I do want to talk about his interesting two-year-old, Plus K Parfait. And that horse got very nicely complimented by a couple of performances over the weekend. Harvey Wallbanger came through and broke the maiden after three straight seconds. And you may not have noticed at Gulfstream, cutting humor for Todd Pletcher. Those two horses were second and third at Keeneland on October 7th behind Plus Qui Parfait. And he'll be a little under the radar, I think a little bit, in the Jockey Club on Saturday. Looks like they've got a field of 11 or 12 of the two-year-olds. The filly race is a little lighter. And, of course, Restless Rider. And this will be an interesting weekend because you've got Breeders' Cup horses running back, which is cool. And, in fact, speaking of Breeders' Cup horses running back, had that was something that the Paul Matisse, having listened again Thursday, something that Paul talked about, you know, getting the opportunity to have the Breeders' Cup horses back up out of the cup. So Brendan Walsh, and Brendan's got a bunch of others that are already in, and we'll see what else he's got. He's also involved in, I think, the Mrs. Revere as well already. So looking forward to, always fun to connect with Brendan, and he had that maiden winner at the end of the card. Was that Saturday? We'll talk in a second about some of the other, you know, some of the racing from the weekend. We'll talk to Johnny D, as I said, for his big ode to Thanksgiving. Matt Hegarty is going to be here. And I'll talk about his story. I mean, I'm not going to spend too much time on the front end. We'll talk about it with Matt in a minute. Not a minute, but in an hour. Bob Baffert later as well. Want to catch up with John White today. John, the last week, was involved in steward meetings. So we didn't get a chance to talk to John. And so there's the top line. I think Brad Cox is going to join us as well this morning on the heels of his 1,000th win. And they've come quickly, and they've come in bunches. Mr. Misunderstood as well in the River City. Getting over the softish turf with a plum, and he's a fun horse. And Cox has got a lot of action coming up as well into the holiday weekend, and that 1,000th winner came down at Fairgrounds. Got to talk about Fairgrounds too as part of the weekend recapping. First 4 days of the meet. Really, some very notable early trends and successes. A hatful of riders that came out of the gate smoking. Mentioned the Clark and Brad Cox. Well, certainly he's got a shot at it with Leah Frick. Speculation about Jim Cassidy and Prime Attraction. Yep, they're running. Drew the Rail, hence Steve Asmussen. Calumet Seeking the Soul out of his good performance in the Breeders' Cup Mile. Johnny Velasquez in to ride Hawakam for Wesley Hawley. Leah Frick, Bravazo runs back out of his third in the Dirt Mile. And Ron Paolucci, who was monitoring this field, he has got storm advisory and sight for sore eyes. Involved as well. So there's your grade one Clark. That's the first grade one of the holiday weekend. I mentioned the Matt Hegarty visit, and got to talk about the biggest news from Friday. A few different things happened on Friday, including the end of the Keeneland sale. We'll get to that. But the biggest piece of news came fairly late Friday afternoon. And, of course, when we had spoken to Corey Johnson, I think, on Wednesday, when the news, of course, of the sale of Kentucky Downs, Ron Winchell and Mark Falcone, and then we went from that news into the KHRC licensing meeting. And as Corey kind of hinted, and as, you know, seemingly a fait accompli, the KHRC, in a voice vote, just had seemingly a cursory set of presentations, some Q&A session with the principals, Caesars, Kentucky Downs, and the partnership between Churchill and Keeneland. And then, despite Ron Winchell and Mark Falcone asking for an appropriate time delay so that as new owners of Kentucky Downs, they could properly and fully present KHRC with their, what they would want to do at Oak Grove. And that was dismissed, and it really did feel all the way through this, and including when we had the conversation with Frank Angst, Breeders' Cup week, that this was a preordained deal, that the Churchill Keeneland partnership was getting this license no matter what happened. That certainly is in evidence. And it is an interesting set of circumstances. They're going to build this thing quite quickly, and it's 45 minutes from Nashville. It, of course, intercedes and poaches a little bit on the Kentucky Downs territory. Falcone and Winchell disappointed that they didn't get a chance to present fully, but it's not changing what they're doing in terms of renovating and expanding and their plans that they have for Kentucky Downs. The question that I would imagine comes up at some point next, and I reached out to Ron Winchell, and he's been on with us many times, and would love Ron to outline his thoughts going forward. The storyline involving the historic racing is quite remarkable, that it's been fully, very much fully embraced by Churchill and Keeneland in this endeavor. They're going to build, they're going to put 1,200 machines in. And it's been Kentucky Downs and the partners involved there with Corey Johnson and the team. They're the ones who broke down the walls and the barriers and fought the legal battles and risked their capital and their investment and time and effort that has paid off so handsomely for racing interests and breeding interests in Kentucky. And I'm sure it's wishful thinking that at some point they might be thanked in a tangible way when it comes to the awarding of dates. So we'll see how that plays out. But you would think that that would be the least that the KHRC is got to, they've got to stand up for the best interests of racing in the market. And as I said to Corey Johnson last week, you would think that some form of thanks or recognition of what Kentucky Downs has done for the year-round circuit. They helped stabilize Ellis Park. They've made it possible if and when Turfway goes ahead with their opportunity. They've got to renovate the place and build a parlor, but Kentucky Downs has done so much for interest in the state, and they're being treated shabbily. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, it's just... It feels like there were a lot of things about this that were quizzical. Matt Hegarty, who has observed very closely these kinds of machinations, will give you a chapter and verse around 10:40. I'm going to mention a passing that I hadn't seen until this morning, and I immediately reached out to my brother because Jerry Frankel, 88, passed on Saturday, and you've seen the brothers Frankel, Jerry and Ron, you've seen them as owners for decades, and of course, Jerry Frankel, for 20-something years, has been a very successful producer on Broadway. And for those of you that aren't aware, my brother is a prominent press agent on Broadway. And he I said, how much work did you do with Frankel? Because one of Frankel's Tony-winning productions was the 99 mounting of Death of a Salesman, and my brother was the agent on it, was the press agent on it, and I said, you know, how much did you work with it with him? And he said, very little. He said he was a silent producer. He said he didn't interfere. He put up the money, and that was it. And Jamie said he just wasn't that. He didn't. He just sat in the room and took it all in and had a lot of success, a tremendous amount of success, including the 05 version of Glengarry Glen Ross and August Osage County, 2010 version of Lacage, the 2012 production of Porgy and Bess. Did a lot of revivals, he and partner Jeffrey Richards. And then on the horse front, Frankel had lots of nice horses, and the best came fairly recently with Day at the Spa. And of course, partnered there with our friend Steve Lehman. And they, you know, the Frankels jumped right in on Pegasus too. They bought a share immediately. He was a high roller, Jerry Frankel. He'll be missed. Apparently, just I never met him. I don't recall. Apparently, as sweet as can be. Let's take a break. Come right back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When I said it out loud, it wasn't as strong as it was in my head. I tried not to think about it, so it came back louder. I think it's been about a year since I became a snob. Decided not to play along, so it grew bigger.
I sent this to Casey over the weekend, and you know, it's funny that Sophie Tucker came out with that first song that got picked up by, I think, by Apple, right? And I like that. My friend, right? The friend, I'm going to forget the name, but this apparently came out at the same time with it, and I had not heard it, and I heard it on Saturday, I think, or Friday, and just loved it, and. I said, Case, here we go. She's a little talent. Sophie Tucker, which is cute, too. I mean, she's, I don't know how many of you are old enough to know who Sophie Tucker was, but look her up. She's pretty amazing. And so this girl is sort of kind of modernized to Tucker, T-U-K-K-E-R, but that's not, you know, her name's Sophie, but it's actually pretty funny that a young artist would even know who Sophie Tucker was. Sophie Tucker, when I grew up in Connecticut, one of my mother's best friends, Bobby Aronson, she was, I don't know if she grew, she didn't grow up with Sophie Tucker, but I forget the connection. Yeah. Anyway, I'm easily distracted. The action on Wednesday. Can't wait for Andy to join us tomorrow because you're going to have to take an interest in Wednesday's Aqueduct card. And let's hope. In fact, I really should see what we've got. What we've got weather-wise tomorrow and into Wednesday, because there is the Pick 6 carryover, which has reached 263,000, and the Naira Betts Pick 5 carried over 37,290 yesterday on the strength of, interestingly, a horse that it was the longest shot on the board, And as I turned to it, Miss Mystique in the eighth, and they were able to run on turf yesterday. This is this was a horse, Leah Giamatti, for Jeff Treadway and Rajiv riding, Raji Baba, and 34-1. Paid $71. And there was no reason for this horse to be overlooked like this. I mean, it was going to be a price. Okay, it could be a little bit of a price, but shouldn't have been the longest shot on the board. And this is one of those horses that had two tries, washed off the turf, and actually won one of them in Saratoga in the slop. Then in September, tried to get back on the grass to turf sprint and couldn't do it. So you go back to the 2 7-furlong turf efforts at Belmont in May and June, and this horse was as good as anybody. It should have been maybe the fourth choice. I could understand mentality, getting bet the Wesley Ward when actually went favored. That made sense. But there were horses that took money. Broken Border was 7-1 and was in recent form from October, and was no better than Miss Mystique. So. Certainly in part, there was also a 15-1 shot. And, there were other, She's a Diva, first-time starter for Alexandra Mamo, who came to Saratoga this summer from Finger Lakes and did very well. So between those two horses, knocked everybody out. And you go into tomorrow's card, Wednesday's card, and it's a fun card, and it includes stakes. It includes some good stake action. The Fall Highway. It's not your grandfather's Fall Highway. There's nobody packing 138. And there's also the Central Park for the two-year-olds going a mile and a 16th. And there was also the Winter Memories, too. So hopefully those, and the Winter Memories and the Central Park, both on the grass. So hopefully we're okay. So let's see. Today. No problem today. Look at this. 60% chance tomorrow of a little precipitation. Not really. Not bad, though. This is on Long Island. And sunny and beautiful on Wednesday. How about that? Sunny and 43 on Wednesday. So I think you're going to get good yielding turf. How about it? Nice. So you're going to get a chance tomorrow. Andy and I will go through this. I'll handicap it tonight. It starts with a maiden 20, going 6. Then there's a mile, state bred, first level allowance with good horses. Group of 7. There's 7, I think, in the first, make it 9 in that maiden 20. Then there's a maiden 30 on the grass. Big field. And then the 3 stakes. So a quality card with real money on the line in a big way. And, of course, the Red Smith came off the turf on Saturday, unfortunately. 6 horses ran. And, interestingly, Todd Pletcher left the Argentinian bred that came from San Ysidro earlier this year. Came in the summer. And Village King is his name. He's a campanologist out of a Pleasant Tap mare. And they went ahead and ran him on the dirt. And he was good, to say the least. And it was if you didn't see the race, it's an exciting finish with Soglio that Mike Maker has for the Ramseys. And, of course, had been, if you go back, had been a Flaxman runner for Grand Motion. And 97 buyer. Track was fast, too. So they may have gotten they may get a lesson here. And it'll be interesting to see what Todd wants to do. Castellano was aboard. So that may have been that may have been instructive, let's say. And then yesterday, you had a couple of stakes yesterday too, actually, and that included the New York Stallion series and Gold for the King. Gold for the King, Charlie Baker for Mrs. Palangeli, and this is a little irksome because I thought I've always liked this horse, and last year going into the Woody Stevens, I thought he would absolutely at a price be a play. He had come in off of a couple of Stallion series performances, and he's gotten good again this fall. He just missed in the Hudson, and then he absolutely dominated, crushed this field yesterday. 98 buyer, too. Now, he's a nice horse. He's beaten Open Company, and he's a gelding. He's going to be around. He's a posse. Maybe he's going to be the new Mind Your Biscuits. Who knows? So actually, that was the only stake yesterday. So Aqueduct in Focus, and then, of course, we come back after Wednesday, we come back, and on Thursday, you've got the Calmly, or Friday, the Calmly, and Field of Eight came together there. The Phillies going a mile and an eighth. And in fact, Brad Cox has got one in there. Hadn't even noticed that. Then the racing actually goes into the weekend, and you've got the Long Island and the Discovery and more. So should be a very good 5 days in New York, starting with these big carryover opportunities. In addition, of course, going to kind of bopping around a little bit. Let's talk about Churchill. And even before that, I mentioned Baffert. Slipped this in. If you didn't see Coliseum from Saturday in the opener, you're going to want to go see it. It was a big day for Baffert. 2-year-olds on Saturday at Del Mar. Coliseum, who came in, with real expectation. In fact, there had been a piece Bill Finley had written in TDN talking specifically about Godolphin and their Derby hopes. And, of course, I brought this up with Nick Luck. You may have just heard this, actually, in the last hour when I talked to Nick on Friday, and we talked about Charlie Appleby and Saeed Bin Sarur, and I mentioned to him, I said, as much as Appleby and talked about it and, knowing how much Godolphin would like to win a Derby, this storyline is going to be on that parallel track. This is a Tappet colt out of the wonderful Game Face, who you must recall, and she was great. She was a Grade One winner, 6-time graded stake winner. But Coliseum, just as easy as he pleased in that 7-furlong effort on Saturday, a few ticks below what Mucho Gusto did, and Mucho Gusto did it in a different. Even though they both went wire to wire, Mucho Gusto had to turn back plenty of company. And there was even a point when it looked like he was going to get swamped. And he just dug in. Joe Talamo aboard for both of these winners. And it's kind of nice to see Joe Talamo get a chance on horses like this. And certainly with the embarrassment of riches that Baffert, this is, I believe, if I had the number right, I believe this was his 17th first out 2-year-old winner. Yeah, this year. 17th, I think, out of 24. And this horse, I'm looking forward to talking to Baffert about Coliseum, because this horse has been working for 6 months. 6 months. And Baffert's had him at all the encampments. Had him at Los Al, kind of away from things. He's a Tappet. Baffert has said that he's got some of those Tappet personality traits that are quirky. 6 months he worked this horse. It's amazing. It took him from Los Al to Del Mar to Santa Anita, back to Del Mar, and you know, pretty much has just worked him and worked him and worked him and worked him. And that's not necessarily the Baffert. You know, you'll see a handful of works for a first-time starter. But I was curious because the works on the page went back to August. And I said, let me see. And they kept going back to July and June. 6 months of works to get this horse ready. Coliseum by 6 3/4 and a 91 buyer in his debut. And then Mucho Gusto, we like, much to like. And the first graded stake winner for Mucho Macho Man. 86 buyer for him. So that was the big story, obviously, from Del Mar, was Baffert, say the least. This was quite something. I mentioned before we do Churchill, we'll actually cover quite a bit of Churchill with both Brendan Walsh and Brad Cox. So we'll go to Fairgrounds, and before we take the break, we'll do the rest of what went on. And, of course, on Friday, we had mentioned that the season started Thursday with the Benson, and remembering Daisy, Mitch Merle had a great start to the season with 3 wins. This for the Old Wellings and Gary Shearer, as I mentioned. And then into the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, came back with the Mr. Sulu, Scott Geiner, and in the Navy, Adam Bakiza. Nice 6-1, too. Owner Kendall Stanley. This is a midshipman gelding that Stanley bred himself out of a Dixieland band mare. You also had Cassie, Fortunate Girl. I happened to see this race at 11-2. $13 winner, Fortunate Girl, a hard spun out of an AP Indy mare. And this might be a very nice turf filly. And Brendan Walsh came running second in here with Tupelo Honey. And this had some nice horses in it. This was the ninth, the turf maiden race to close out Friday. And then Saturday's action saw the Heyte Monty Man, Ron Fischel, and Gabriel Saez. And Saez has had a nice start to the meet. In fact, he came back and won for his man Larry Jones. That was yesterday. Colonel Thoroughbreds with a half hours filly, hours to run. And she went off as the second choice yesterday in the Happy Ticket, one of our favorite. God, and we love Happy Ticket, and got to meet Happy Ticket too. She, poor Happy Ticket. Saez with a nice start to the meet. In fact, I mentioned there's a handful of jocks that really got off the mark well. Bakiza and Merle. Jack Gilligan's got wins. James Graham won a pair on Saturday. Bridgemo, of course, trying to defend a riding title. He got a handful of wins. Sophie Doyle's got wins. Here's a wacky... we'll go to the break. Here's a crazy angle for those of you that I don't know if this is going to be dependable as the meet goes on, but so far Miguel Mena on horses that have Greeley in the name, 2-2. I just happened to notice that Miguel Mena, with two wins, and one on Greeley's banker, and the other, the dead heat win yesterday on Dude Greeley. So when you see Mena on a Greeley, it's go time. It was great to see the racing from Fairgrounds underway, and now it's Thanksgiving week. And in fact, you know what? One of the cookbooks I'm using is from New Orleans, Cooking Up a Storm, and it's all recipes from the community that appeared in the Times-Picayune. And I've also actually got it within that book. There's several Fairgrounds recipes, because the Fairgrounds has had, you know, a long culinary tradition. And Thanksgiving at Fairgrounds, a big deal. Let's take a break. Brendan P. Walsh will join us. We're going to find out about what might be a under-the-radar two-year-old. And more. Brendan Walsh next. Johnny D. Matt Hegarty. Brad Cox. John White. Bob Baffert. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfertello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. What you gonna do?
Yeah, time is money, so don't fuck my mind. Seeing out with my girls, I'ma have a good time. Step back with your chit-chat, killing my vibe. See, you can't get too much of a good thing. Swarm here dressed up in the finest things.
your iPhone camera flashing. Please step back, it's my style, you're cramping. You here for long, or no, I'm just passing. Do you wanna drink? Nah, thanks for asking.
Ooh, nah, nah, yeah. Don't act like you know me, like you know me.
We're back at the races. I guess we're gonna spin this morning, Kay. We're gonna go through. All right, I'm game. Jax Jones with Ray. I love that, and that's a big start to the. We're in that holiday mood. Let's be honest. I'm not gonna kid you. You know, we'll talk to Brendan Walsh. I'm sure. I know he had horses to work, but he'll pick up here any minute. I put out the call this morning as well to Garrett O'Rourke, and I've meant really for 2 weeks to catch up with Garrett and get you the Judmont official reaction to the terrific Breeders' Cup. And I'm kind of glad I waited, although Garrett is tied up today and tomorrow. He's got, I don't know if he's got Teddy Grimthorpe in, but they've got some business meetings, and so he can't join us. We'll do it after the holiday. But the news came today, this morning, from Judmont and Grimthorpe that Enable will come back next year, and she will campaign with the intention of winning a third straight ARC. How about that? And awfully game, and she, of course, would be the first horse of any ilk to do that, to go trika in the arc, and then ideally come back and try to defend her turf title. So for those that, you know, there had been anticipation that Enable was going to be bred, but the excitement over the prospect of, and why not? I mean, she did have the abbreviated campaign this year, so there's obviously, listen, you don't have to worry about Prince Khalid. He's a sportsman of the, you know, the game ilk, and it's very cool that Enable will be back. So the fans that she undoubtedly won over this year and at Breeders, they'll get a chance to root for her next year. And we'll talk to Garrett about it when the time arises. Let me also, since I mentioned Fairgrounds, and while we wait for catch up with Brendan Walsh, the stakes from Delta Friday and Saturday. We talked about it with Mary Rampolini and started out with the Treasure Chest, and you know these stakes that would have been part of the Princess and Jackpot card. Testing 1-2. Victor Arsenault. And this is a Star Guitar. May Fole, actually. And she wins. She was not favored. She went off a 3-2. Mrs. Evelyn, Britland Stable. And testing 1-2 with Diego Sainez. Coming out of the Remington Oaks. And cutting back a little bit to a mile. That was on Friday night, and you also had the Louisiana Jewel Mattress Mac with a homebred Louisiana bred by Guilt Trip out of a charismatic mare for Chris Richard. Good profit, and she won really well. She went off by 5 and beat a 1-2 favorite in Silver Cents. How about that? And then on Saturday, came back with the Delta Mile, Mosito Rojo, for Shane Wilson and owner Wayne Davis, a Mutata colt out of an Orientate mare, and he also had, as we mentioned with Mary, Cafe Dumont, a easy winner, And Café du Mans under G-Money, Gerard Melançon. And this New Year's Day colt, Diamond Racing, and Jay and Joan Jansen for Leo Gabriel, Café du Mans. And I bet you, Brendan, and with all the time that Brendan Walsh has spent over the years in New Orleans, you've been down to Café du Mans for a Benet.
I'm not sure, Steve. I've been to a good few of them, but, you know, I can't remember them all.
Well, that's because before you went for the Benets, you probably stopped at a pub or two.
And that might be the case, yeah. We might have been a little incoherent, who knows.
Well, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and the crew.
Thank you, Steve.
And let's talk about what, usually I'm talking about what has happened, and we're congratulating you, and we can, because you did have some, you've had some wins that we are going to touch on. But I'm very interested in what's coming up on Saturday, and the Plus Key Parfait, and this horse that broke his maiden in his third start, and he's been really, really complimented, Brendan. Harvey Wallbanger won on Saturday. Cutting Humor, they were behind him at Keeneland in October, and they both have come back to win. Talk about this colt, and he happens to be a Ridgeling. He's a point of entry, but it seems like he's more of a dirt horse than a turf horse.
Yeah, he's a lovely horse, Steve. You know, we've liked him from the very start. His work's always been very good. You know, we've ran him first time on grass, and he ran a decent race. You know, he came back and ran another decent race going a one-turn mile at Churchill. And, you know, it's just been a nice progression with him. And he's come along gradually. I think he's going to be a nicer three-year-old than he's going to be anything. But, you know, he ran really well at Keeneland, and seems to have progressed since. So, you know, we're looking forward to him, and you know, there's plenty ahead of him. But right now he's in a good place. You know,
how's he done? That's plenty of time since October 7th. So you probably are going in with almost probably 6+ weeks of time between the starts, and you know, this is a big opportunity, obviously, to grade two and a great potential season ender. You know, what kind of progress have you seen since October at Keeneland?
Yeah, he's done well. We've been a little. It's been a little, as you know, it's been a little awkward in Kentucky the last 2-3 weeks. The track's been on and off. We've had so much rain and cold. So, you know, he hasn't had the most regular work tab in the world. But, you know, he did put in his last two works have been really nice. He had a real good 5/8 last week. And then he put in a really good piece of work yesterday. So I think we're in good shape. You know, he's fit, and he only needed to be ticked over anyway. But he's been working good, so I don't think we'll have any excuse from that point of view. You know,
well, and clearly he's a horse that is going to relish the distance. The more you give him, the more he should like it. He's a point of entry. He's out of an awesome again mare, and from that. You know, from that standpoint, it feels like, as you said, you know, going forward, he's gonna be a horse to watch no matter what happens. I would think on Saturday, what I do see that there's no Asmussen apparently that is gonna run. Are you getting Santana back again?
I thought Asmussen was running Lyman Ice because
okay.
That was the impression I got. I don't think he can. Then Julian Leperu is going to ride the horse.
Very good. All right. So,
that's good. Julian's having a great meet at Churchill at the moment. He's riding great as usual. So we're looking forward to that.
I said that because, you know, yesterday the publicity team, Darren and KK, put out a probable list, and that Lyman Eyes wasn't on it, actually. So I just But I'm sure you got your ear to the rail.
Maybe he's jumping ship and writing something else, Steve. Who knows?
All right. Either way, you got you got Julian, and stylistically with this horse, I mean, he was, you know, near the pace and stalked and was part of the pace picture in the maiden win. But it doesn't feel like he necessarily watching him. It doesn't feel like he needs to be there. It feels like he could be placed anywhere.
No, that's the thing. He's a very adaptable horse, and he's very laid back, and you know, he does, you know, he's never too far away from, you know, if he's not right up there, he probably wouldn't be too far away from it. But he's a nice horse. If you can put him in a nice spot earlier on, you can switch him off and let him relax for a period in between in the race, and then, you know, he's a tough horse, you know. He loves a scrap, and you know, he showed that the day at Keeneland. He loves a fight, and I don't know if he's ever going to be one of these horses that's going to win a race by lengths, but he'll do what he has to. I do know that.
Tell me about Imperial Racing, and you know, this was a fairly reasonable purchase, 130. Give us a little backstory.
Yeah, Imperial Racing is a bunch of guys, you know, that are, they are basically Dubai based, but they're led up by Connor Foley of Oracle Bloodstock, and Connor, he buys a lot of stock for them, so Connor kind of runs their affairs over here, and does a hell of a job at it. And they've got a few horses. I've had two or three for them the last couple of years. So I think they're trying to break into the US market at the moment. But you know, hopefully this horse is probably. I had a filly for them last year that was very good, a good filly from Dubai, and she came over, but. You know, she just didn't. I did run her one time, but she just didn't really cut any ice over here. I think the best part of her career was in Dubai. But hopefully, this horse will put them on the map over here.
Well, Plus K Parfait, and looking forward to the draw. It's a full. It's going to be a full field too, and Signalman in there for Kenny McPeak, and Maniwa for Catalano. Todd Pletcher, who actually told us last week that Current was going to get a dirt try, he shows up in here. Dale Romans with Blue Steel and so forth. Mike Maker with a pair. This should be very good. But this horse, because I had seen him in the Harvey Wallbanger, having kind of taken an interest in him over the summer, Brendan, with Harold Lerner, and you know, we kind of tracked him, and then I saw, you know, what happened with Cutting, you know, that Cutting Humor ran a very big race for Todd down at Calder, and that's a nice horse that was third behind you, so I think that's a pretty key race.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it, you know, the form stood up well. So yeah, like I said, I mean, my horse is in a good spot, and I think he's sitting on a big run, so I think he'll give a good account of himself regardless of, you know, we'll just have to see whether he's good enough or not.
Well, let's catch up on everything else that's been going on, and there's plenty to talk about, including yesterday, the Nightcap Uncapped comes back and breaks the maiden. Talk about this First Samurai colt.
Yeah, he's a nice colt, Steve. He's a half brother to a nice filly I had a couple of years ago, Wicked Lick, who I ran in the,
oh, sure.
In the Kentucky Oaks. He's First Samurai, obviously. She was by McLean's Music. You know, he's a more of a speedier type of horse. Ran a real nice race first time out of Keeneland. You know, went out on the lead, broke fast, went out the lead, and got tired and. Back yesterday, we just took him back a little bit yesterday, just off the pace, and he settled nice and came running at the end and ran a nice time, and I think he's a colt with a big future.
Well, uncapped, and this is for the Marlborough. Is that?
Yeah, Lee Marlborough. Yeah, Lee has had a horse with me the last few years. Obviously, he had Wicked Lick, and he's a New Orleans-based businessman and great guy. Pleasure to train for, you know. So we've been lucky for him so far. So long may it continue.
There's really no reason that this colt has to be on the turf either, it seems, right? I mean, this came off. Did you not care either way if it had stayed on the grass, or was there any plan to that?
The sister, Wicked Lick, actually broke her maiden on grass. And we were willing to give it a try. And there was a chance it was going to come off, so we weren't, you know, too concerned either way. What it did. Now, the race didn't cut up terribly yesterday. There was only a couple of bug scratches. There was still a couple of nice colts in there. Even on dirt, they looked like they were decent enough. But he won with a little bit in hand. So, you know, I couldn't have been happier with him. And it's nice when you get a nice experience like that for a two-year-old. You know, I think it moves them up a bit again. So, you know, all his best days are in front of him.
Uncapped, everybody. Take a look. First Samurai Colt, a homebred for the Marlborough, as mentioned. And, you know, before we talk about some other maidens and some horses coming up, I gotta talk to you about the marathon. I mean, you're supposed to win the marathon every year, you know, and we're very disappointed.
Yeah, we were. I mean, this horse might be the best horse I've ran in it. On the face of it, you know, but he just didn't stay is basically it. I think he really got leg weary, and Jose thought he'd taken a bad step or two, or at least his stride shortened, and he did the right thing. He eased up on the horse, but he came back out of it perfectly fine, Steve. I actually galloped him myself last week in New Orleans. We brought him down there, and he's doing fine. He's actually doing fine. Of course, we were very concerned, but believe me, there's he's fine, and we'll get him back on track. We like I said, we have him in New Orleans, and we've got the Tenacious handicap at the end of December, which he won 2 years ago, the year that he won the New Orleans handicap down there. He won that first of all, so. You know, we might try and bring him back for that, and you know, it'll be a little bit easier spot than what we faced him in the last, or at least we hope it'll be a little easier spot. You never know down there, but, you know, hopefully it might it'll be a nice race to bring him back and give him some confidence again, you know.
Nice. Well, honorable duty, of course, we're talking about, and, it turns out that ended up, people may not have really looked at it carefully, Brendan, but that was a serious group for the marathon this year. That was not a bunch of throwaways or just a bunch of clodhoppers.
No, it was like I've obviously the last few years I've watched them because we won it a couple of times, but this year was a very strong strong race. You know, Jimmy's horse that won he looks like he's really, really good horse now that he's gone that far. And I think he's probably a horse that just, you know, has gotten better with maturity. But he looks like he's going to be around for a long time. Jamie Osborne's horse was a hell of a horse, too. You know, and there was a couple more in there as well. I mean, it was a tough, tough race. Baffert's horse as well. It was a tough, tough spot. The toughest one I've seen by far.
Baffert did not think he could be beaten with Dabster, and and then you talk about Toast in New York, who wasn't necessarily trained up to a mile and three quarters. He was aiming for a mile and a quarter, so yeah, that was a good effort too. I mean, this was a good bunch, and there's no doubt the winner. In fact, this came up the other day. Jimmy, wait and see what what Jimmy Jerkins does with him. He probably is going to, I bet, sharpen him, and he's going to be a serious horse next year for, you know, for anything a mile beyond, mile and an eighth and beyond.
He's a dangerous man with a horse like that, Jimmy, you know.
Exactly. Well, and two track records at unusual distances, a mile and five eighths and a mile and three quarters. Let's talk about what's ahead in addition to the card Saturday. Mannerly in the Fall City coming up on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, really looking forward to her, Steve. You know, she's doing great. We've had this race in mind for a long time. You know, she ran third in September. She ran third in the graded stake in the Locust Grove. You know, ran a really good race at Keeneland in the spring. You know, kind of has had a couple of races in between where things didn't just go to plan. But when she runs her best race, she should be very competitive. She's never run a bad race at Churchill. In fact, she's 2 for 3 at Churchill and third in the Grade Three. So you know, we've had this in mind for a long time, and we're really looking forward to it. She's doing great, so very, very hopeful of a big run.
You know, this group is really interesting, and Divine Miss Gray at 3 to 5 is a little weird, because for all the nice performances, for the most part, she's at her best going one turn. And so we'll see. But Mannerly 6 to 1. Van Meter's got that Dutch Parrot, who I thought ran really well on the Breeders' Cup undercard. That was on Friday. And there's a couple of things going on in here. This is the Falls City, which will run as the 11th on Thanksgiving. I want to ask you about a couple of maidens as well. St. Denman goes on Wednesday with Joe Rocco in the 4th, and then at Fairgrounds, looking ahead to Friday at Fairgrounds, you've got Idle Hour.
Yeah, St. Denman, Steve, has done very little wrong this year. In fact, I'm at a loss to explain how he's still a maiden. You know, he obviously did win his maiden at Kentucky Downs and got disqualified.
Right.
And ran a really good race. His last race was very good too, but I think anything over a mile probably stretches him. I think the distance might have caught him out the last day a little bit, but we're back to a mile this time. Looks a good spot for him. He's doing well. So, you know, please God, now this will be his day. You know, he deserves to get a maiden. I mean, he's done nothing wrong at all. He's been right there outside of his very first run. He's been right there every time. So hopefully it's only a matter of time before he gets his head in front.
Well, and that could come on Wednesday. And then what about Idle Hour at Fairgrounds?
Idle Hour is a lovely... lovely filly as well, Steve. You know, she's progressed on her work. She's out of a good race there herself. You know, so I'm hopeful that she's going to be pretty nice. I think this is a good spot. She worked really good the other morning, actually, at the Fairgrounds, and she's ready to roll. So, you know, we'll see.
She's a Malibu Moon, and you mentioned the dam down the Dusty Road, who was a stakes horse. This is a $100,000 Keeneland purchase last year, and it's Stone Street, which is, you know, got to be excited. Is this the first you've had for Banky?
No, I've had a few the last couple of years. Mannerly is theirs, and they've. They've sent me, you know, kind of two or three.
Nice.
Last year, I think, was the first year I got 2-year-olds for them, and we've got a couple this year as well. So, always nice to have some horses for Stone Street. You know, they're great people to train for, and with you know, stock like they have, there's always a good chance that they, you might be throwing a good one, you know.
Oh, absolutely, no doubt, and we'll look forward to this on Wednesday. This will be the 7th at Fairgrounds, and James Graham going to ride. A bunch of allowance runners too, amongst Leslie May, Extravagant Kid, Dubara, and Hanovi. Who's got the best shot of those four?
Actually, all four of them might be very, very hopeful that they're all doing well, Steve, and they're all in the right spots. Extravagant Kid is doing great. We were thinking of running him in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, but he needed two to come out to get into
That's
it.
Right.
And in the end,
That's
we
right.
didn't even enter him because. We didn't want to come in from the outside, so he's doing so. Come off grass, he'd be fine on dirt too. He runs well on dirt as well, so he's in good shape. Hanovi ran a really nice race at Keeneland last time. He was second in pretty much the same type of race. Leslie May ran really well two starts back. Her last start she ran okay too, but the speed never backed up. So she'd have a shot, and then Dubara has been running really well since we got her. She's actually a really nice filly. You know, we ran her twice at Kentucky Downs. We probably ran her back too soon the second time, so we gave her a little bit of a break after that. And this is her first run back, but she's working good. So that looks like it's a good spot for her as well.
Well, it's a big holiday weekend for the Walsh Barn, and Brendan, I'm really excited about, particularly about the 2-year-old and the jockey club, but making the transition. How many of the horses are already down at Fairgrounds?
We've got kind of 20 odd already at the Fairgrounds, and we've got pretty much the same at Palm Meadows as well. So next week now we'll move what's left at Churchill down, and then we'll be in the two places, make it a little easier. So it's all good.
Well, as long as Skaggs has got, although I heard that is Skaggs going to Europe?
He's going to Hong Kong, Steve.
Hong Kong. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. He's been talking about it for a while, so he's heading off, I think, next week. And he's gone about doing a bit of traveling over the winter as well. So you know, we're kind of giving him a little bit of a break, but he'll be back in the spring, like any good horse. He'll be back in the spring for Keeneland, you know.
Wait a minute. You got it. You only got that about half right. You're the one that's getting the break. He's going to be gone. That means you and the rest of the team get the break.
Yeah, it'll be like a weight off my shoulders.
Oh, I love it. Brendan, good luck this week. Get lucky, and happy Thanksgiving. It's going to be busy, obviously, and then as soon as the meet ends, the horses get down to Florida and down to New Orleans, and we'll see you in one or the other place or both.
Sounds good. Thanks very much, Steve. Happy Thanksgiving.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Brendan Walsh, everybody, and you can follow Brendan Bren P. Walsh on Twitter. Although now that I think about it, I don't know how often he's been tweeting, actually, because you usually see them in your mind's eye. Let's see how often he's been. He might not. Let's see, Brendan Walsh. Let's see the last time he. Just 4 hours ago, actually, he retweeted somebody who congratulated him. I love it. Well, all right. So follow. If you're not following Brendan, go ahead. Jump on board. He does a terrific job. And this is an interesting colt in the stake. Don't know if Saturday's going to be the day, but You'll know if he's back on with us next Monday, you'll know. I love it. Let's take a break. Johnny D is standing by, and we will enjoy one of the great traditions on At the Races, the Johnny D Ode to Thanksgiving, after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.